We would like to welcome to the podcast a new sponsor for 2025, HRO Adventures. Rusty and Jackie run the ultimate outdoor adventure location outside of Cooley City, Washington. Rusty provides world-class guided mule deer hunts, guided or DIY pheasant hunts, and other upland bird hunts too. If you have a special occasion coming up, a special corporate outing that you would like to set up, or a place that you would like to do your own private group training, give Rusty a call today. He specializes in the custom experience. Everything from hunting to bird watching you can find at HRO Adventures. Look them up at hroadventures.com and hiddenranchoutfitters.com. Tell them Dave sent you.
Hey there, Preacher Dave here. You know, Rusty and the folks at HRO Adventures have one of the coolest jobs in the world. You get to hunt and you get to fish and give tours of all this. What a job. You know, I love my dream job too, because I get to talk to people all day about the guy that's behind all of this. When I look at this, I see a powerful and creative first cause we call God. That started and maintained everything. You know, that something from nothing, that's a little hard for me to take. I believe there had to be this first cause that created all that we know in our universe. He's powerful, creative, eternal, bigger than everything that he created. I believe he's also personal, and he's a knowable being because he created you, and he created me, and he thought that both of us was a good idea. You know, I think the hardest verse some people have is the very first verse in the Bible. Page 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. For some people, that's when the fight starts. For me, every person has to start with a faith statement. In the beginning, something happened. In my beginning, something happened. And what happened after that's important. I might encourage you this. Try to do this. Just rent the idea that maybe God did create all of this. Maybe Genesis 1:1 is true. Just rent the idea and then read part of the Bible and see what you think. I'd suggest starting over in Luke or maybe John. They're toward the back of the Bible. They'll tell you about Jesus. He shows us what kind of God we have. And you know, maybe, just maybe a Jesus-shaped God is one I could believe in. I don't think that's a bad idea. Maybe he's the kind of God that could create all this. And you and me, and put us on this adventure together.
Well, welcome everybody to the HRO Adventures podcast, episode number 19. Rusty, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Glad that we're getting to be able to do this one on 19.
Yeah, so we're now up at the cabins and out of the harvest field, and you got hunters in the field out chasing
absolutely
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been talking about this. It was coming quick, and now it's here.
And now it's here.
And we're actually doing it from archery camp. The first archery group's right in here right now. So,
well, who's with us today?
Well, that's going to be kind of cool because well, the first one that's going to stand out is Skip, and Skip stands out in this field all the time. So Skip's my patrolman. He's here because we have camp. He's out there putting up signs and taking care of us, watching over us as we're out hunting. Mark from 17, one of my guides, is here. Mike Odello, one of the hunters that was also in 17, is here. And then we have a special guest down here. I don't didn't mean that you're special or anything, Tim, but
it's not one of them camps. But
another hunter that he has traveled the farthest to get here, I think. I think it's farther than the California guys from Minnesota. So it's going to be kind of fun to have these guys in camp. And you got to join us for lunch.
Yeah.
And got to visit with everybody. And in fact, I wasn't sure we were going to do a podcast because we were just sitting around just visiting and talking.
Or we should have rolled the tape earlier, I guess.
Oh, man, that would have been a long one, though. Yeah, it would have been a long one. So
what have you seen out there? You've already been out for the morning, and it's 100 degrees out there now.
and that's our biggest challenge this year is the weather, which the deer have to deal with it, and so do we. But it's over 100 degrees out there right now while we're in here in the air conditioning. And that's a challenge. And I would say the biggest challenge of it isn't that we can't get out there or that the deer aren't, you know, doing it because they live in it every day. The biggest challenge is the endurance. It's the survival of it all. It's keeping guys from getting sick, keeping guys from getting overheated, keeping ourselves hydrated. When you're standing there waiting on a deer to move, you're just baking in the sun, and it's a difficult deal. So trying to mitigate that, maneuver through all of that, plus the hike to get in and out of places. This morning, I feel like I'm about ready to fall asleep because this morning I had to hike over the mountain and then back up over the top. Geez. So, which used to be easier.
Yeah, didn't get any longer trail wise.
No, it didn't. The trail just seemed longer. So, but no, it was really good. We had a good morning. We got to see some deer. We've seen deer every day.
Okay.
We've had stocks every day. We'll probably get into that as we go through.
Okay.
So yeah. So so Mark, why don't you introduce yourself again? I mean, it's only been a month since you were on here. Right. So, but go ahead, and then we'll just go around the table.
Yeah, Mark Eiler, guide for Rusty at Hidden Ranch Outfitters. Been doing it for about 20 years now. Been guiding the guys from California, Mike, and Jeff, for about 20 years. Been hunting with them a long time. And Tim, been hunting with him for about 3 or 4 years now. So know all these guys well. This is a great camp. I might look forward to this camp more than just about anyone. This is a great camp, just because I know everybody. It's more like I'm hunting with my buddies, not a guide at camp. So
awesome.
makes it a lot more comfortable. We joke around. We talk about sports. We listen to the same kind of music. So yeah, it's
so both country and Western,
mostly rock, but yeah.
Okay. That's my pickup, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. My pickup plays the classic rocks.
So. There you go. Which I'm old enough. It's just rock.
Yeah. And it's exactly. It's great to have Mark in camp again. Yeah, it's
great to see.
You know, we see each other throughout the year once in a while, and we talk about the kids. I know his kids and everything. And we talk about wrestling and stuff. But it's always great to be back in hunting camp.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
Great.
For sure.
Awesome.
So yeah, happy to be here.
Good to see you, Ben.
All right, next one.
I'm Skip Stover. I've been part of Hidden Ranch Outfitters from the get go. So everybody who's ever come through our outfitters business, I've met them. Technically, I started as a patroller, just making sure that everybody had a good hunt. I'd make sure there were no trespassers, that kind of thing. It just kind of developed into, now I'm more of a utility guy.
Second wife.
I'm more of that guy is call Skip. Something goes wrong, if we need something, call Skip. So I just am in the background all the time, making sure that everybody gets everything that they need. So yeah, I'm just everywhere all the time. I go from doing people's laundry to dragging the deer out. So.
Anything that Rusty and I don't want to do.
Good wingman.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Skip is on speed dial, that is for sure. And really, you've even stepped in as a guide once or twice when we've needed you.
And I might add, a successful guide.
There you go.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there to these guys that do it all the time. So,
that's an inside joke. I love it. But yes, it has been a successful guide. And successful in a place where we've been trying to beat this week and we have not yet. So, that's very cool. But yeah, Skip's been here since the beginning. Skip's going to be a hard one ever to replace whenever that time comes, because there's never going to be another Skip, that's for sure. But Skip does do everything. He knows everything that we do. He knows every place that we go. When we get a new lease, he's on it before everybody else, looking at it, posting it, and getting ready for it. Has Onyx Map made your life better or worse?
Onyx Maps is a wonderful thing.
I know where this is going.
In the very beginning, it was more like you'd come onto a rig and you'd go up to them and, sir, you can't be here. Well, yes, I can. No, you really can't. Well, Grandpa Hunt told me 10 years ago I could hunt here. Well, Grandpa Hunt has passed away and you can't hunt here anymore. And so those dissertations are gone now. Now it's Onyx Map. Mm-hmm. Just point at it. They look. And it's a done deal. Yeah. And those kind of issues have really dissipated over the years. So it's not that big a thing, which it really allows me to do everything else.
Yeah. You're not tied up with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. And we'll get to some of that, hopefully. So next on the table, because we're going around, is Tim from Minnesota. So Tim, whereabouts in Minnesota are you from? And
yeah, Tim Skelly, and I'm from northern Minnesota, small town, Deer River. I grew up in northern Minnesota and just love coming out here to get in on an early hunt, early September. Things really don't get going in Minnesota until mid to late September, so it's great to get out here. Plus, I don't get a chance to do a spot stock type hunt in Minnesota. It's all whitetail and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is different out here from a mule deer standpoint, and the country and the terrain is so much different, and it's just a great hunt, and it's a great camp too. I love coming out here because of the people in the camp, and that's what makes it great: accommodations and food and people and well organized. So it's an easy deal for me to come from Minnesota out here to Washington to hunt on September 1st.
There you go.
That's awesome.
It's 100 right.
degrees.
And you had a frost warning in Minnesota today, correct?
Yeah, frost warning tonight back home. So that gives you an idea what I'm going to go back to in a couple days.
A couple days. Big turnaround. So now, Tim, your first time here was actually with Hosted Hunts. And right. You're still with Hosted Hunts as far as this hunt goes. But Hosted Hunts, that was when Conway came to vet me to see if Hosted Hunts was going to be one of our folks, one of our bookers. So, and you came without the vetting. I mean, just
kind of came cold turkey.
Cold turkey, yeah.
Both Conway and you.
Yeah. is that right?
It's turned out good. At that time, I hadn't met Conway, but they've been great. Hosted Hunts have been great to work with on a lot of different trips I've taken. And also the relationship and long term from that standpoint. So
yeah,
they've been great, and it was a great introduction. Mm. And that's why I keep coming back here too.
Yeah,
because of the quality of the hunt and the people. So
yeah, because Conway actually drove here from Minnesota first time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was kind of fun. That was a fun hunt.
It was a fun camp.
You guys were cold turkey
camp. Yeah.
It was a group. Mark and I didn't know anybody. Yep. It was just like everybody's like checking everybody else out, whether we like you or whether you like us. And we had a blast.
Yeah. And that's evolved too into the hunt with Mike and his group. And I didn't know any of those guys either when I first started hunting with you. So it's evolved into more than just going out hunting. It's the group of people you hunt with and, the fun we have in the morning and evenings and so forth. But it's been really good.
Everybody knows everybody in the other truck. Yeah. That's for sure.
And I just don't get a chance to hunt like this in Minnesota. And that's the big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I have been on some epic hunts. Of the 4 years that you've been coming, there is some that are in the top five of my lifetime. So yeah,
there's some in the top five, and there's also a couple in the top two.
Well, we weren't going to talk about those,
but they're all good. They're all good.
They're all good. They're all good. Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, there's some good ones. All right, round the table. Next one up is Mike. Back to the podcast. Month later.
My name's Mike Odello. I was here for the podcast for number 17. We all heard about my archery hunt, first archery hunt here with Hidden Ranch Outfitters. Skip was not there, though. I will say he did not make that hunt. So he's been on all of them. Yeah. But I just want to concur with what Tim said and what everybody's been saying. This is a great camp. This is fun. Mark said it as well. It's really fun for me to come up here with my friends. Went to high school with Mike and Jeff that are hunting here with me. And we've just had nothing but fun at these camps. They've been great. I think this is our, fourth or fifth year that we've been coming up. I know
for archery, Mike, yeah.
For archery. Yeah. With the whole group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started out with Mike at the rifle camp, and we've all moved on to archery. I think we're having a lot of fun with it. Not always successful, but we have lots of fun stories to talk about. And I have to say, it is fun, more fun riding with Mark, because I'd rather listen to Rocket. You
know. Oh, wow. Kick to the curb.
But the archery hunting is fun. You know, it's great. We have great stories, or they're fun. We see some interesting things. Just like our hunt this morning, we're all watching the same deer, and the deer, we're sitting in one car, and Rusty's actually out of his car hunting, and we're all watching the same deer. And from our perspective, the deer just looked down the hill and ran away. And we're like, well, that ends our hunt. And then Rusty texts us about 4 minutes later, and we go, oh, we had him at 40 yards, but he wouldn't give us a full body shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and
so then it all made sense.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's like the story within the story.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's the story within the story. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to be here. Fun to be here. Thank you for inviting me on the podcast, and look forward to
good
adding some insight to.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Glad again. You're getting to join us again. I'm glad that you're going to do that. And that hunt, I'm just going to say, you know, since it is my turn, I'm next at the table. If I can sneak in on a deer while you guys are watching it and not know that I'm there, I think that's a win.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I had a, you know, there's a little bit of elevation change on the other side. I could hide pretty well. But yeah. And I had Jeff and Tim. So yeah.
Topography is our friend.
Topography was our friend. And I turned around after the buck left. I turned around to Tim and I says, we did everything right.
Yeah.
Which is never happens in archery. And the buck just didn't do his part.
Yeah. You come back with a list of what you messed up, right?
Oh,
yeah.
My.
What but not to do again.
We did. Everything just went just perfect this morning. And Tim was just Johnny on the spot. And I just turned to him when he saw those tines coming through the grass, and I said, you got to draw. It's going to happen quick. And he kind of looked at me like, you want me to draw now? I was kind of like, yeah, this is going to happen quick. And he drew, and no more than he got ready, and that buck just stepped out there. Yeah. One more step is what we needed. He stepped out there and turned and looked at us, gave us a shot of really not much of a kill zone. And I'm really glad Tim didn't let it fly. I don't know how he did that. That was some fortitude there, Tim, because everything was looking really pretty. And it was right at 40 yards and we were ready. So, but I'm glad he didn't, because the more things could have went wrong at that point than went right. So.
Well, remember we talked on the last episode about training regimes and whatnot, and one of the things was drawing and holding that.
Yep.
People don't practice that enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect example of where that came in super handy, right? To be able to have that endurance. So.
Well, and you know, that's just a little tip. This will be our archery tip of the day. You don't realize how long it takes you to draw, mm-hmm. or what it takes to draw, until you're out there and the animal's looking at you, and then you're going, I can't draw. Mm-hmm. It's going to be too much movement. It's going to be take too much time.
Or in my case, and, how much noise you make when you
draw. Oh, yes, absolutely. And so that's part of learning the archer, the art of hunting with archery equipment is when to be able to draw and be ready for the shot when the shot is. You have to anticipate the shot.
You want to draw when they're moving.
Learn how to draw from different positions.
Awkward positions. Awkward positions. Body mechanics.
You're not always standing on flat ground and have a nice open sight. You know, you might have to say, oh, I have to step over, miss this branch, got to get out of the way of the weeds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go on.
Yeah.
What did you think, Tim, of the hunt this morning?
Oh, it was great. And I think what Mike says is absolutely true, but, you know, I come from country where we do almost all of our hunting out of a tree stand.
Oh yeah.
And not on the ground and not stalking the animal. But out here, so it's a totally different type of hunting than what I grew up with. But what's great about Hidden Ranch is that you do get opportunities and that's how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than fishing. If you don't catch fish, it's hard to learn how to fish because you don't know what you did right or wrong. Same thing with hunting. Mm-hmm. You learn these different things from your different experiences. So, no, it was great to be able to be on the ground level, fairly level with the deer and be ready. And yeah, I didn't get the shot that I wanted or to take it, but you learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bottom line is most of the time when a buck like that comes out and plants both front feet, they're probably not going to take another step toward
you. We now know that.
So just little things like that that you pick up on.
Yeah, little behaviors that you can pick up on. Is this my last opportunity? Should I wait? Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back and maybe get into some gear.
Okay.
All right.
The Snoqualmie Inn by Hotel America is the perfect location to stay at when visiting the Snoqualmie Valley. With 99 guest rooms, the inn can accommodate travel, sports teams, and seminars in addition to valley visitors. Enjoy the breakfast buffet, fitness center, and indoor pool before starting your activities. Coaches and parents alike will enjoy the spacious meeting rooms and lounging areas with food and coffee retailers, all within steps of the front door. Use promo code SNOWPOD for 12% off. Teams contact Lori Hay for reservations and discounts. Make the Snoqualmie Inn part of your stay. And don't forget to use the promo code SNOWPOD. That's S-N-O-P-O-D in all caps.
Welcome back, everybody, to the HRO Adventures podcast. So we talked about the hunt this morning. And we talked about a little bit of training that made sense as far as practicing that draw, right? Holding that draw for extended periods of time. When I came in, I went past a bunch of the dead nuts targets that we had done a review on. What'd you guys think of those? As far as arriving in camp, easy to set up and kind of get kind of your eyes calibrated and dialed.
You shot one of those, Tim. What'd you think of the, as far as the sight picture and what it was to shoot at it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It gives you a different perspective on your shot, what you're practicing to do. Where you penetrate and exit the organs, and it just makes you think differently about the shot that you're taking when you're shooting at fairly realistic life-size deer. So I thought it was great. It gives you a different perspective.
Yeah, kind of a fine-tuning after you've done block stuff or whatever and arrive in camp, you can just kind of recite.
The one target is a quartering target, which you just don't get that sense or that feeling when you're shooting at a block.
Yeah.
It's a different thought process to look at that type of target.
Yeah. And as you had this morning, right, you had an oddball positioning and shot.
I have a quartering neck shot.
A quartering neck shot. So it's like you can't really practice that. Well, you can check them out at deadnutsoutdoors.com. A great group of folks, and they make all kinds of animals. They got everything in different angles.
We've talked to Cole on there before on the podcast.
For the price and its portability, it's pretty handy, I think.
So. Yeah, that was my first time around them. And for a 2D target, they're very 3D look. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was pretty impressed with, is that it's just a 2D target. It's super mobile because it folds up. You can take them anywhere. You know, you can fly with them really easy.
Yeah.
But they have a very lifelike look to them and almost a 3D appearance just because with all the shadows and the detail mm-hmm. of the picture. So I thought for a 2D target, the quality is really high.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we thought. And
you know, one thing I noticed is, and I'm not a bow hunter by any stretch of the imagination, never even picked up a bow other than seventh grade PE. So, but what I have noticed, and I'm speaking for the non archery bow guys, you know, the muzzle loaders mm-hmm. or the modern firearm, I have learned so much just from watching these guys shoot. As far as with the dead nuts and the organs, mm-hmm. that you don't need to be an archery guy to want to own these targets.
Yeah.
Because it just shows you exactly where you hit, mm-hmm. no matter what your weapon choice is. So I recommend it to anybody who just wants to know that, gosh, was that a lung shot? Was that a heart mm-hmm. shot where you think you hit and you walk over there and you bring your, phone over and you do the app and you go, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I didn't know there was that part, you know. So yeah. Just for the non-bow guy, yeah. it's also an excellent source of information.
Yeah, both in anatomy and then what I liked in a group setting, just like shooting steel for distance or something or IDPA or whatever, mm-hmm. is everybody around you sees it too, right? So it's not like you can't fudge it. Everybody saw where that arrow went and everybody knows that was, you know, a heart shot or not a heart shot or whatever.
Yeah.
So it just is going to improve things, right? It's there's no way to kind of fudge it and get around it.
So one thing that we did learn yesterday, it started out as being a very frustrating moment for me.
Okay.
What got hunters in camp and everything. And we got these new targets. I've just, you know, built them up to this huge pedestal, how great they were. And then I get over there and I can't get the quiver to work. And it was very frustrating to me to make it work.
It wasn't lining up correctly.
It wasn't lining up. Quiver's
the app that talks to the chip.
Yeah. And I would just get it on my phone, get it to click on that. Here would be all of the anatomy. And then it would float away. And I'm like, whoa. And it was just over and over. Mark goes, how about your all-in case? If you took your all-in case off, what? So we took it off and it worked perfectly.
Ah, okay.
And so
interference with the case, huh?
Yeah. And okay, so right now I'm wearing the all-in case all the time because I'm always wanting to be able to take a picture.
Which is his digiscoping
right.
case.
My digiscoping case, yeah. And so I'm always ready with my binoculars and my stuff to take pictures, you know, in the pickup and whatever. So we can share all that and we can see it. And so I'm just carrying it in the case and it only lets you use one camera.
Okay.
And on the back of my phone, there's three and it needed a different camera.
Interesting.
And so
that'd be good to pass on.
Yeah. Because we didn't see that anywhere on the website or on any of the YouTubes or anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So hopefully if anybody's listening and they carry their phone in an all-in case, take it off before you shoot the dead nuts target. And I'll share that with Cole.
Okay.
Just could be a little blurp or whatever however they want to deal with it. But it was just, it works great. And it was, everybody was impressed once it worked. So, but yeah, you know.
Okay.
So
even without the anatomy part that, it adds. Still I still cool. think the targets on just in the 2D aspect are pretty high quality.
Yeah. Wait till you see what's coming. We can't talk about it.
Okay.
Yet. Yeah.
Wait till you see what's coming.
Oh, that's a hanger right there.
Yeah, it is.
Man.
It is.
You think it's cool now?
Yeah. Wait till we get Cole back on. Exactly. Yeah, we'll figure out what's going on.
All right. Let's see. We got a few different bows. We got some Matthews. Let's see. Was there a PSE? What was the other one?
I don't think so.
Bowtech. That's what it was. Bowtech. Yeah. Okay. So I got some. And then is everybody doing carbon arrows this time out?
I don't think anybody's using anything but carbon.
Yeah.
So carbon arrows. And then we've got some Iron Will, which we know we
love. Yeah. Like, so tell us about this. What inspired you to do that, Tim?
Back home, I have a few friends that are pretty darn good bow hunters. And one of my friends talked to me about it probably 3 or 4 years ago, that he switched from mechanical to iron will, and thought that that was a great broadhead. Had another friend that switched to fixed blade and iron will, and then this summer in an outdoor magazine I read an article about iron will that was pretty convincing. And given I've had a few shoulder bone shots, that I didn't feel I really got the penetration or any penetration I should have got out of my mechanical. So, you know, you're just looking for different things, mm-hmm. and maybe to improve what you're doing. You still have to make a good shot. You know, the blade alone isn't going to do it for you. You have to make a good shot. But you do look for things to improve your game. And, mm-hmm. and I just had some doubt or didn't feel confident with mm-hmm. the results I've had with my mechanical broadhead. So I switched to that. And we'll see what happens here. But I think they're a good choice. And I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way.
Yeah, we got two different types in camp. Tim's is shooting the V series. His is, they're kind of designed for more penetration, faster speed. They got the little air channels in it, mm-hmm. a little wider. And then Jeff's shooting the single bevel series, which is single bevel. It's supposed to help with rotation, let it fly a little truer, less prone to any drift with wind and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we got two different styles of the same company. Both use the high quality steel, of course, but yeah, I'm really curious to see mm-hmm. how they perform. So I want to see this, one of these slice through something. Yeah. So, and they, you know, Iron Will at first started without, well, I guess it's just an option now, the bleeders, and both Tim and Jeff do have the bleeders as well mm-hmm. to increase the cavity size. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and the thing we talked about too, was that, you know, with the mechanical, sometimes they're flopping around and you're having to pinch them together, or reset them, or mm-hmm. Things happen to them when you're taking them out of your quiver or you're getting them knocked up and so forth. So it's another one of those things that you try to mitigate.
Mm-hmm. As a point of failure on it, doesn't it? Wrong. Yeah. And could go wrong, yeah. And then you've got slick tricks. Well, how do you like those?
I really like the slick tricks, or their quality broadhead.
You've used those for a while now, haven't you?
I've used slick tricks for a while, yeah. With good results, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm probably in this camp, I'm probably shooting the heaviest pull bow,
yeah,
as well. Before I went to slick tricks, I used to shoot Rocky Mountain, and those ones were identical to my field points.
Okay.
The slick tricks are a little different. They're about 6 to 8 inches mm-hmm. different than my broadheads. So I have to be careful with that when I'm practicing or shooting, yeah. and stuff like that. But as far as penetration and everything else, they've been, I think Rusty can attest, they've been really good with that. I've never had a problem with them.
Excellent. Yeah. And you guys were saying the iron wills were very similar to the field.
Yeah, they seem to fly pretty true to your field stips. They right? do. And yeah, that's kind of an advantage. And I mean, definitely what Mike said, I would think most people would shoot their broadheads and their field tips, but I've heard of people not, like mm-hmm. just only practicing with their field tips, and then wondering why they're, yeah. They put their broadheads on brand new and it's a little bit different. So definitely, yeah, you got to practice with both.
Yeah, you certainly do. Which gets you into certain targets, right? Not every target take a broadhead, so you got to get the right targets. So. All right. Well, you guys, did you do more hiking and chasing than glassing, or did you do a little bit of glassing today? Did it start right off kind of on the chase, or did you start with a glassing?
Well, you know, today's not the first day. Mm-hmm. So we'd actually had looked at these bucks before.
Okay.
So we were chasing them around. This is the first time we've actually got a shot on this guy. Okay. Even though we didn't let the arrow go, I'm calling it a shot because it was everything but the arrow going. But we'd seen him on the other days.
Were you using your Zeiss stuff?
Was
today, or was yep. that more at the beginning, I guess?
Yep. No, I carry that my SFs, my 10x42s, my SFs, I carry everywhere, do everything with.
So in the heat with the thermal signature coming off, errors in the glass?
I'm feeling really good with mine. I like mine.
One of the reasons we liked them, right?
But, you know, both Mark and I have quality stuff because we live behind it, especially this time of the year. We're looking through it for hours. And so, yeah, we have pretty good stuff. So, yeah. And then, you know, I've had my spot and scope out now a couple times. And that's a Swarovski X series.
Okay.
And that thing has already, you know, helped us out, saved us a little bit. I know Mark had a stock on the first day, and we had the spot and scope out, and we talked about it all. Could, but gave us a lot better, clearer picture of what we're going to see when we get to that spot. Cause we were sitting 800 yards away when we were spotting, but so it really was really helpful to be able to do that.
Okay.
What do you use for a rangefinder?
Leupold.
You have a Leupold one.
Yep.
What is
all my stuff is Leupold.
All your stuff.
Binos is the Leupold, 10x42s, spot and scopes, Leupold, rangefinders, Leupold.
Yeah. Yep. So
good stuff.
My mine's all different. I have a Zeiss. I have a Leica, Swarovski. So I got one of everything.
That's what happens when you go to the trade shows. That's right. True. Depends what booth you're next to is and what the discount is. Right?
Too many things. We did when Mike came and worked Harvest, as we know, because he was here on 17. But we got to use the Garmin speed detector.
Oh, you did
on his bow. And so we'd never done it on a bow before. So yeah, the arrows were flying and I was super impressed. So I'd never done it before. So we didn't have anything to compare it to, but all of his arrows we shot, I don't know, what did we shoot? A dozen times from top to bottom was less than 7 feet per second difference. I mean, they were super consistent.
It was amazing. On that Bowtech solution that I shoot is an awesome bow too, because it doesn't jump out of your hand. Because the new way they made them, they kind of go, your bow flexes up and not out.
Gotcha.
So when you let it go, you don't have to really grip it super hard. You can just let it go and not have to really, because I know when I really squeeze a bow, it tends to go left or right.
Yep, it'll torque, won't it? Yeah, you'll put a turn in it. Yeah. Interesting. But, so how fast were you seeing an arrow go?
I would say we're 297. Was our average.
And how much do your arrows weigh? Do you know, or what about roughly?
484.
Yeah.
So you got some kinetic energy going there. Yeah.
Some good power.
Yeah.
Good. Some good power.
It's got good power, good weight. I mean, the targets that I brought up here to shoot for Rusty, I forget what the brand is, but my arrows, their broadheads are passing all the way through.
Yeah.
Going through the block target.
Yeah.
It wasn't a block either. It was.
But it has knockdown power too as well, which is helpful, right?
Yeah. But no, he's got enough kinetic energy and traveling 300 feet per second.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna go through whatever we need it to.
That's very cool.
So.
And then everybody's got Kuyu stuff up here. So we should give a shout out as just how much we appreciate what they do.
Yeah.
Go Kuyu.
Yeah. They just make cool stuff, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Every time that catalog thing comes, I know what I'm doing for the next 20 minutes. So.
Cool. Yeah. No, we're all wearing Kuyu. That's for sure.
Well, I think something that'd be interesting. So you've got an outfitting service set up. You've got hunters in camp. But having a patrolman's pretty cool and unique to what you're doing.
Well, there
can we talk about that for a couple minutes?
That is the perfect word for my patrolman, unique.
Yeah.
So
it takes a special person to be able to do that and do it the right way and not create more trouble, right?
Well, we all try.
You can't just run security. Yeah. No, that's a very unique.
It'd be tough to operate very efficiently without it, because
and safely too, right?
Well, yeah, but like if I see a trespasser or something that needs to be addressed, if I can't have Skip take care of it, why I have clients?
Well, you just
then I have to take care
of it. Away from
and
the
that
client and maybe
exactly
your client into something we shouldn't be
exactly
dragging client
right.
Into.
That's you're exactly right. No, we don't want to do that, so that's why it's like super valuable. I don't like it. It would be much riskier and less efficient if we didn't have.
Yeah, I think it adds to your overall what you provide here. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we've had many, many people over the years when Mark or I or one of the other guys has called Skip and said that we've had a problem or we need mm-hmm. something or a gate closed or and Skip takes over and we continue to hunt.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not in that area, we move off to a different mm-hmm. place and go, but let Skip handle it. You know, the hunters in the past have all told us, you know, boy, not to be able to just to be able to continue to go on and yeah. not just have to stop because some idiot's screwing, you know, yeah. messing us up.
And in the back of my head is the, we don't know who those folks are. So
yeah.
Now you drag poor guy who's, you know, come here to hunt into some roadside. What's going on?
Yeah. And
it's very unique how to handle those situations.
You know, Skip, you really, when we first started, it was just like, okay, we need a patrolman. Right. And we just started. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a mission. We just kind of knew mm-hmm. that's what we wanted to do. And Skip had me meet, and you did too, with the sheriff.
Right.
And talk to the sheriff because, you know, Rusty's idea of dealing with
oh, yeah.
trespassers, you know, go get a shovel was not going to work. And so we needed to do something else. And Skip, because of, you know, because of his background and because of his job and his work with the counties and stuff, he knew how to work that process.
It's always good to have a buffer, and I'm the buffer.
Yep. Yeah.
Rusty wants to run over them, you know, and which is understandable as a landowner and, you know, running a business. And I would listen to Rusty and he would tell me things and then I would go do what needs to be done. So yeah, it's been very interesting. And actually my first degree was in criminal justice.
Okay.
So I actually wanted to be a game warden.
Oh, okay.
Way before anybody here was born. and
I was going to add that. But.
Yeah, I knew you would. Because Rusty and I have been friends for over 40 years. So we've seen each other mature, but you know that's a whole nother podcast.
but that we will never have.
So I was kind of attuned to that and you know, and my background, it was in probation, adult probation.
Oh, okay.
So dealing with people and all that kind of stuff, it just was just part of my demeanor. So yeah, I find it very interesting. I don't have to do it so much as we brought up before the Onyx maps, and have been out here since the get-go that there are guys that I drive up to now and go, oh, it's Skip. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been for so long that we don't have the majority of the trespassers that we used to, but the ones that we have, they know.
Mm-hmm. A little more blatant.
Yes.
That's the thing, right? Is there's really no excuse anymore.
Way more intentional.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. They kind of already know what they're up to when they hop that fence.
It's almost more like now it's not just a trespasser. They're poachers. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Right. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Well, but we talked about before, you know, illegal dumping, fires. I mean, there could be criminal stuff, but just folks wanting to go see the geological stuff and they park their car on the wheat. You know what I mean? Like so many things could go sideways quickly. So
yeah,
it's not just the poacher or anything, but it's just people that just don't really get it. Right.
Well, and Skip's been in situations, you know, Skip's out there and he's driving around and all the most of your encounters are on public roadways or close by. But Skip's been in situations too, where, you know, not only is he going into a dangerous situation with an armed individual, mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, he's going into a situation with multiple people
always
armed. Yeah. And so, but Skip's been trained to handle a lot of that. You know, not like Bruce Lee, but you know,
there's a de-escalation. Right.
Absolutely.
You know, I always try to go
deal
in
with people
very friendly, very, hey, what's going on? You know, and I really, and this has to do with training at the academy and that kind of stuff. I try to shake everybody's hand. Cause if I shake your hand, I know exactly mm-hmm. what you're thinking, mm-hmm. exactly how you're feeling. And I can read a person a lot that way. Mm-hmm. And plus, it de-escalates them that I'm not coming in here.
Yeah, it's a de-escalation deal.
And I'm not going to be screaming or anything. And 99% of the time, it's very cordial and off they go. Mm-hmm. But there's been a few. Mark and I ended up with Rusty. I have one. I'll just tell one story and then I'll shut up. So before Onyx Maps, I was driving down this road and going down this two track where nobody should be. There's nowhere to hunt. There's no public land. And there are two rigs down there. So I pull in behind them and I start walking around and I walk on top of this rock and I'm looking around and I don't see anybody. My phone rings. It's Mark, who's a mile away with his spotting scope. Hey, there are two trespassers behind you. I go, what? So I turn around and Mark is saying, oh yeah, the minute you turn around, they hide behind bushes.
Oh, interesting.
So then I would turn back around and face Mark and Mark would say, okay. And I'd turn back around real quick, but I could never catch him. And what a lot of trespassers don't realize, I'm just going to walk back to your truck and I'm going to sit there because someday you have to come out to the truck. And so that's what I did and ended up, you know, the conclusion was that Rusty came over, Mark and his group came over, it got dark. We called the local deputy sheriff who said, if we can't arrest them, we're not coming up. And so that just made us all smile like, okay. So we could hear, you know, the sheriff coming up the canyon and he got all the way up and it was one guy and a kid and another adult that just same kind of thing. Well, we thought it was okay because 10 years ago it was okay to be here. And so, you know, but most of the time it doesn't come to that.
And they're showing a kid the wrong way to do stuff. That's where I
did the wrong way.
Surprisingly, that happens quite a bit.
Yeah,
it does.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I get the whole forgot to hit your tag or whatever, but you're showing a kid that it's okay to do this kind of stuff. That's the...
Well, and we got some pretty good deputy sheriffs in this county. That particular incident, you know, the sheriff, the deputy that showed up, he was wise beyond his years. He did a good job of
that's what it takes
de-escalating the landowner. Because I was ready to, you know, it was just I'm done with these guys, and he handled me very, very well. And then he went in and he handled them. And hopefully that kid will learn how to be a good hunter.
Yeah, learned a lot.
Because he didn't, you know, the adults got what they deserved, as far as I'm concerned. But the kid didn't get nothing that was going to harm him later on in life. He should have learned a lesson from what the other two are doing.
Yeah, so I'm sure he did.
I appreciated what the deputy did there.
Yeah. And again, like we've said on a number of these, right, different skill sets come together and it's like the ultimate team sport, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially the DYI guys that are, you know, by themselves.
Yeah, I got neat. One thing to add.
Yeah.
Rusty called me up one time.
Deputized you?
Well, he said, Skip's not going to be here. I don't know what Skip was doing, but Rusty called me up. He goes, I need somebody to come and patrol. Well, I came up a patrol. Skip can have that job. All he wants.
Neat skill set.
My skill set is coming from a ranching skill set. And I'm like, Rusty, somebody's on your land. We're going to get out and have at it.
Yeah.
So kudos to Skip.
It's a unique personality to deal with that kind of stuff right there at the tailgate side of the road, right?
Yeah. I think you hurt your knee. It was your knee, wasn't it? Yeah.
I hurt my knee dragging his deer out.
Ah.
Oh, so that's karma. Mike, we can't help that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't call me up to come up. I was already here.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty neat. And I really like and want to emphasize that, you know, the product that you have, you're smart enough to diversify that stuff out, that's not your forte as a landowner. You're going to react different than somebody you hired to just keep it, you know, squared away. So it's such a smart move because you could get sucked into something, could undo everything, absolutely, you know, liability wise.
Well, and that's
thought out.
We met with the sheriff. That's what he said. Yeah. You know, he goes, hey, you need a buffer. You need to have this in place. Skip with his, you know, dealing with people. I mean, he's had
perfect background.
When you're a probation officer, you get cussed out
You've heard it all.
And so, guy, there was nobody out here that could say anything to Skip that he hadn't already heard. And so he handles it way better than any of the rest of us do. And
well, he's had that unique training that some of us have had where you can tell somebody's lying as they haven't formulated the lie just yet, right? You're like, I'll just save you the breath. I already know it's coming.
And one thing I have to say about the whole group dynamics of our I call them R's because I've been with Rusty like over 40 years and worked with the program, but it's not ours, it's Rusty's. But Rusty has developed an outfitter's business that we try to make it that when the clients are out hunting, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're hunting. They don't have to worry about anything that's going on behind the scene, so to speak. So And that's where I come in to make sure that if they call me or they text me, hey, Skip, there's a guy on the boundary. So I'll just drive over to the guy on the boundary and it's dissolved right then because nobody's going to do anything while you're sitting there talking to him. And the quality of our business is.
The security that you've provide that no one's going to know about. It's pretty neat. So again, just what a top notch operation,
And then you talk about the utility, man. Skip also plays the part, the second wife part. I like that remark.
We all got
that was a, Mark said that.
Have a label, right?
And so, but Skip plays such a part that the hunters, and like Tim can contest to this. Tim's been here for four years. You have Skip's phone number in your phone and you text him during the year when we're not even hunting. He becomes a friend with the hunters and everybody likes to.
Sure. And it becomes more of just showing up to hunt and going back home. So you do develop relationships and that adds a lot to the whole experience.
Yeah, sure.
That's what you look forward to is the whole package.
Yeah.
You start sharing all those kind of things and
that's what it gets
to
fun,
be.
Right?
Yeah, it does. It gets to be fun. It gets to be fun.
Okay.
So, yep. And Skip hasn't got me arrested yet. So I'm that's been a good thing.
That's because I don't want to be the outfit.
He knows he'd have to take over all the jobs.
Oh, is that, that is. It's not that you could have said, I haven't done anything to be arrested for, but you didn't.
All right. So you have a bunch of hunters in this week. What do you have next week? Do you have more archery lined up still?
No, this is the archery camp. Yeah. And I'm going to space it out, get it some rest. That's the way it's going to have to be this year. We needed to do it last year.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we're going to give it a rest here for about 2 weeks. And then, actually, it won't be much of a rest. I'll be scouting.
Be
out doing all of that, just getting ready for muzzleloader season.
Okay.
So we got that.
The forecast has shown we could still have some heat for that first muzzleloader group.
Right.
So what one of the tips and tricks things we were thinking of is 100 degrees outside today, a little bit of distance between here and like the skinning shack kind of thing. What are you guys doing as a group to kind of process, take care of the meat as fast as you can out there? Any good tips or tricks? Cause it's, we're talking about 100 degrees out there.
Yeah. In my mind, the quicker that we can get the meat processed. So we need to, once the buck's down, get the pictures and get the guts out of him and get him bled out.
Okay.
And then get him back here and get the skin off. Faster we can cool him down, the better off we will be.
So you're doing it up to the skin removal in the field, basically, it sounds like, then.
We won't take the skin off, just trying to keep it clean until we get to here, and then we'll get that off, and then we'll get it rinsed down, get it cooled down as fast as we can. And then this is back to the utility, man, depending on where we're at in the in the group.
That's what I was thinking.
That deer is going to go straight to the cutter. It's going to have to go get into a cooler very soon, very quickly. So a lot of times that's Skip or, one of us will be able to, if depending on how many hunters we have left, two might be able to just go with that, with Mark.
That's what I was thinking. It's a concerted
with
effort.
Me and we'll all be helping out with that. The other good thing about this camp is, Mike and Jeff have been here many times. I can just turn Mike loose and say, go. Gotcha. That is like the only thing I will ever turn Mike loose with on by himself, though, is to go to the meat cutter. So
the other luxury that we have.
Hey, yeah, I know you can't leave me alone because then things happen.
The other luxury that we have is that we're hunting on private land, so we can get a side by side to that down deer as fast as possible.
That helps a lot.
Public land hunting in this degree heat is a lot more difficult. You're going to have to debone it probably and get the hide off as fast as you can and pack it out, which is a lot more difficult. So we do have that luxury as we can get to the animal very fast with a side-by-side and get it out that way.
Yep. Good point. Nope, that's what I was thinking. You didn't have to debone it out there because you can move fast.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to give a shout out to your cutter folks that you've been using?
We've been using Wild Game Processing. Colin does a great job. He's up the Inyat River.
Okay.
They moved the shop here 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he does a great – now the shop's really new. And so I love the way that it – from the time I unload it, put it on the rail, they weigh it, and it starts into the cooler right on out. The way it works around is just a processing circle, and man, he can do it fast and he does a great job. So yeah, Wild Game Processing.
Okay. And yeah, as a DIY guy, right, there's a million things you got to do. Come out with an outfitter and just like the name says, they get you all dialed
in. And they do, they give you a pretty good a lot of different things you can pick from. So you can do summer sausage and pepper sticks. And
we had the sausage, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Holy cow, that was good.
It's really good. Oof. Yeah. And so, you know, but Colin does a great job.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, it's time to get close to Rusty's calendar here. So we talked about a small break, but muzzleloader on the way.
Yeah.
What's on your calendar?
There's really no break on the calendar. we're booking hunts right now for the pheasants for October and November. And we've also got the muzzleloader. Skip talked to Kevin the other day. He's kind of up in his game on his muzzleloader a little bit. So it's good to hear that those things are happening because we're nonstop now from the time archery starts. We'll be looking at deer every day.
Okay.
We'll be out and around doing all of that. And you know, I think that it looks really good, just like last year did. Not the high numbers like we saw 10 years ago. And so, you know, anybody that's looking for that, I don't know where that's at in the state at this point, but it ain't here. And I don't think it's very many. I think the numbers are down pretty much statewide.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago, Mark and I, the job was easy. We were having fun. We had lots of options. You know, we weren't even getting deep into the hunting areas. I got to get out of the truck. I got to get moving. I got to get my eyes in different places and holes that you just can't see from anywhere to find them.
Yeah, so if people want to come out and hunt, right, it's a decent hunt. It's not a drive out. There's one on the logging road kind of operations.
Yeah, yep. So as far as the calendar goes, the bird hunting is going to be the next thing that's going to hit.
Okay.
And that's
so when should people look at coming out here October?
They better be booking now.
Yeah.
If you got a now, certain,
but when should I be looking at it for my vacation or time off?
Yeah,
or?
I would say November.
November.
Okay. October is booking pretty quickly, but there's still plenty of time left, especially in the weeks and weekdays.
Okay. So weekdays, and you got lodging and you got guides with dogs if people need it.
But the wild hunts and the pond hunts, they're getting a lot of attention right now.
Okay.
And they need to be getting on and getting it booked.
Okay.
The sooner the better.
How can people find you?
HiddenRanchOutfitters.com is still the best way to go. We've reworked it all. It's kind of a, if you haven't been on there for a while, get on and take a look.
There's some beautiful pictures on there. Holy cow.
Yeah. And Ron's done a great job with putting the hunting thing together. So the prices for the old stuff, the pheasant hunting and the deer hunting, those never changed. And we kept that the same on purpose. But when you turn over there to the hunting page now and you get on that, you're going to see a lot of stuff. Predator hunting
stuff. Yep.
The predator hunting with Kelly is getting a lot of attention and you don't see it right up front. You have to go to the hunting page to see it. And so, and then the wild bird hunting, I am, you know, I love to talk about mule deer hunting, and I can talk about mule deer hunting nonstop, as most of you guys know. The wild bird hunting, I'm telling you what, I've never seen more passionate people. I thought muley freaks were crazy, but no. These and they are asking me questions, and they are talking about stuff, and they are running in on those. And so I didn't realize just how much the wild hunting was going to play.
On that, Rusty, I've been seeing quite a bit of birds this week when we've been out. Mostly Hungarian partridge, grays. Yeah. Been seeing a lot of huns out.
Yeah, we saw a lot of huns. I will say this, just to wake Tim up, earlier today, we stepped on a covey of Sharpies.
Did you really?
And I'm telling you what.
That'll get you going.
Both Jeff and I were right there. I turned around, looked at Tim, and Tim was still breathing. So I was happy because, man, we were right on top.
We saw some sharp tails too, yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
And that's going to be, that's one of the new areas where we were hunting this morning. Is going to be one of the new areas for the wild birds.
Yeah.
And you're right.
I saw two big coveys of huns this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're out there. Yeah. They're out there. So those would be what I would say as far as the calendar goes. Be jumping on that, get on the website. And if you have any problems at all, get a hold of me.
Just call. Yeah.
As we were getting ready to record all this, all you guys were standing here staring at me, and I had to go out for 15 minutes
because phone rings nonstop.
Yeah, the phone was ringing, and we had a big old problem with the credit card online, and so I had to go get that all taken care of.
It never ends.
So it did, but yeah, people are getting on, people are doing it. So that's where we're going to be. The calendar is going to be nonstop and all the way through.
Yeah, so that's the website's a great place to get the info, but don't hesitate to call the number.
No,
Rusty answers. There's nobody else.
Yeah, and leave me a message.
And the idea is you'll build what it is that works for you. So
yeah. Well, you know, our good buddy Pete was telling me, he goes, you quit screening the calls that you answered this time. And I says, dude, I see your call every time. I'm usually on the phone when you call. So so leave me a message. That's, you got to leave me a message or text me so I can get back to you.
Something's up.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, great.
Skip's the only one I really ignore. So
get away.
Second wife.
There you go. So that's how call signs are developed. Be careful. Well, guys, from the hunting cabins, it's been great to talk with all you guys. We've been looking forward to it. So thanks again for inviting me, and stay tuned for the next episode.
It's really good. Really good. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you coming over.
Yeah. Good luck. Be safe. Can't wait to see some pictures.
All right.
All right. Take care, everybody.